Yvonne.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Okay.
Yes?
I promise this will go back to friendship. I just want to share something.
Oh, dear.
A few weeks ago, I had a dream job in my voiceover career. I had to go to the big city, the big city, to a majorly beautiful professional sound studio to do a job. Dream job. It was great. I was on cloud nine. I was flying high. Felt so good. Dream come true. Okay. It was so good that I was like, is something wrong? Like, I had to ask the clients, like, are you serious that you're happy or are you being nice? I said that. those words came out of my mouth.
Uh-oh.
And they didn't really answer me other than saying that was great. They said that was great. And then I got the sound engineer all alone. I'm like, listen, tell me the truth. How did it go? She said, that was great. I'm like, woohoo. I was flying, right? Mm-hmm. I get out of there and I did it in not that many takes, which they said was great because the person before me had a lot of takes, they said. Whatever. Okay, so I'm leaving. Now I'm walking the streets. Not like that. I'm in the streets. It's very crowded. And, you know, people tend to be very gruff and stuff. But everyone was smiling at me. I was smiling at everyone else. It was like one of those Disney moments where the birds are landing on your shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Everything is perfect. I was all dressed up, even with nice shoes, even though I was walking all over the place. I had a brand new bag. I love bags. I can't help it. Anyway, all of a sudden, tell me if this happens to you guys. I mean, I know it does in some ways, and I'll bring it back to friendship.
Don't point at me.
Well, I'm just saying, I was going to say, well, tell me if it happens to you guys. But after this happened, I'm going to tell you what happened. But when it happened, I just kept it to myself. And then, I don't know, a week later, I had a meeting with one of my business coaches. And we tend to have really great, great conversations together. And it gets quite spiritual. Even though we're talking about business and everything, it all comes back to spiritual stuff. Examples from, like, she'll pull things out and say, well, you know, it's actually like in the Old Testament. Like, she'll like bring things up like that and tell me stories that are totally relevant to today, to what you're going through. But she said, everyone goes through this. And I'll get to that later. And this was so helpful that I feel like I need to share it with everyone. All right. So what happened was I was so happy. I was proud of myself because all the training, everything over the years, it all pulled through. I felt so successful.
Good.
And happy.
Good.
Everything. Shiny, bright. And as I was walking, all of a sudden, I caught a glimpse of myself in the one of the shop windows, you know, in the glass. And all of a sudden, I spiraled. I'm like, look at you. You're so ugly. And I was wearing this big, like, flowy summer dress. You know, it wasn't big, but, you know, a nice, beautiful, flowy dress. And everything got so distorted. And I started to tell myself, look at how incredibly obese you are. You're a monster. You're so ugly. Why would anyone want to work with you? Like, these thoughts came to my head. And I didn't tell you, Matt, and I definitely didn't tell the family, right? Because I didn't want to repeat that kind of stuff. So in the quiet silence, like, protection of my private conversation with my business coach, I told her this. And she was quiet for a few seconds. And I said, what do you make of this? Do you have any suggestions for me? And I didn't know what she was going to say. And then she told me a story. And she told me everything is normal. Everyone, especially creatives, go through this. And I want to say we go through this when we meet friends too, in relationships. You can call it what you want. You can call it sabotage. You can call it, like, I don't know. Some, like in the Jewish religion, they call it the Yetzer Hara. Basically, it's like the devil coming to take away from you or take you away from your path. Or, you know, the opposite will show up. Do you know what I'm saying? In the form of a thought. So you may be meeting someone, you're like, yay, this is wonderful. And then all of a sudden you'll say to yourself, yeah, well, I don't deserve it. I'm not a good person, or I'm not hip enough, I'm not pretty enough. Whatever the weird thing is, it shows up. It could show up in business, it could show up in friendships, but you know, marriages, all of that. And what my business coach told me was that it's always the things that you're most insecure about that will show up. And guess what? It has nothing to do with what you're dealing with. So she broke it down. She said, first of all, you're not obese. Hello? You're not ugly. You're not any of those things. And guess what? It has nothing to do with your voiceover career, does it? Let's say you were those things. What does that have to do with your voice? That's not why they're hiring you. And she did that to make a point that, so what? You know, it's illogical, right?
Right.
But it's the stuff that comes through. And I, like I said, you can call it whatever you want. Sabotage, self-sabotage, the devil, whatever, right? Why are you making those faces? Did you not know?
I'm almost afraid to say anything at this point because I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. So we'll see how this further develops.
So one of the things I was told to do by my coach was she brought up a book that I thought I was one of the very few people that knows about this book. It's on my desk. She brought up two books. And every time I was like, oh my God, that's on my desk. Oh my God, that's on my desk. I look at them every day. They help me. Mm-hmm. One of them is The War of Art. Everybody's familiar with The Art of War. This is called The War of Art. The War of Art, Break Through the Blocks and Win Your Inner Creative Battles. That's the title. And it's by Stephen Pressfield. And it talks about that. It talks about when you're on your path, when you're creating something, something will show up that will take you away from that. There are a few books that talk about this. And then the other one was, I'm blanking out on it. Anyway, bottom line. The thing is that she told me to write a letter to myself, but not to myself, to the thing that shows up. For some people, it's fear. So you write a letter to fear saying, hey, I know you're riding in the car with me, but guess what? You're not going to be in the front seat. You're in the back seat. And guess what? You don't get to make the final decisions here.
But you get to pick the radio station?
You don't even get... Oh, you've read that?
No.
Oh my gosh! It's from this book and it's a letter she writes. It's a very famous person, and I'm so sorry, I'm totally blanking out on the name. But it has to do with creativity. And she says, and you do not get to pick the radio station.
Oh.
The fear. The fear does not.
I know.
Not.
Oh, poor fear.
No, you... Matt. Basically, it's saying, I hear you, you can speak, but you are not going to control the destination. Mm-hmm. You're not controlling the wheel here, you know? So I'm like, okay, so I have to write a letter. First of all, I have to name it. I don't know what this is that shows up for me, but it's always this, you know? It comes from childhood. Like every time there was a big thing, like a big party to go to or, you know, an important thing to go to, I was always ridiculed for, not ridiculed, I mean, like told how awful I look, and you know, I'm not a good person, and I'm ugly, and all this stuff. I mean, I was a little kid, 6-7 years old, getting told this. And hello, my parents bought the clothes, and they're telling me how awful I look. Like, you can wear that? Come on. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense, but that kind of thinking is now, has always been with me.
Right.
And it's this thing that shows up. And the kids and I were watching this TV series. Was it a TV series? It's that show.
It's a series.
What was it called? Who Wants This?
Nobody Wants This.
Nobody Wants This with Kristen Bell. It's just, what was I saying? I totally forgot.
Oh my God.
When you meet, it was like, okay, so she got into a relationship, right? I like how they did it. They're both so happy. They show both characters separately going through these same thoughts. Like, I'm not a good person. I don't deserve a relationship that's good. I'm not a good person. I'm a bad person. Like, these thoughts come in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, all of you listening, what kind of thoughts come into your head? What can you name it? I have to name mine. What would you name mine?
Like, oh, it's goodness.
It's not fear. Should I call it the blob? Hey, blob.
See, if it was me, it would be a name like Percy or...
Percy?
Yes.
But like, what if it was me?
Like a very,
what if you were me?
Aristocratic but thin and weak person. That's where I get Percy from, but that's me.
See, mine is so loud and ugly and mean, so I don't know what to call it.
The bullhorn?
I don't know. And then do you call it something that has power because you're giving it more power, right? Like,
okay,
if you say, hey, clown,
so,
do you know what I'm saying?
So, like, I keep working in really random circles. And one of my favorite authors that I first read when I was 8 and I still read to this day, Ursula K. Le Guin, shout out. In the naming of a thing, you control the thing. That's what she wrote in one of her books. And in the beginning, there was a word. But anyways, so I think in naming something, you gain power over it. And in this society that she had created, you had a secret name that you kept to yourself and you would only share with those people you trusted with your life, because it was your life in this particular fantasy world that she had created. So I think the naming of things is important. You know, and the other thing that you're touching on, I mean, people talk about there's three parts to everything. There's the body, the mind, and the spirit. And everybody says, you know, the body, that's easy, right? I'm physical. I'm strong. I'm eating well. I'm sleeping enough. I'm mental. Ooh, yes, I read and I'm taking courses and I'm et cetera, et cetera. And the spirit, spirit's fine. We kind of push the spirit over to the left or to the right. And then we talk about things like faith. It's like, I'm a computer programmer. Yay for me, right? Why? Oh, well, I went to school and I worked really hard and I, all the mind stuff, right? The body stuff. I stay up late learning things and I focus on what I'm doing and I eat right and so what? Neither one of those things is truly important. I'm a computer programmer because I believe I'm a computer programmer, because I have faith in my skills and my abilities, yes. But ultimately, I believe. And that's it. That's all of it. You remember one of our neighbors, Aiden?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what he told? He's a teacher. Do you remember what he told me he teaches?
I remember he used the S-H-I-T word in the midst of it, but I don't remember all of it now.
He teaches invisible S-H-I-T.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
He teaches entrepreneurship. He teaches faith. If you believe in yourself.
And so you talked to him more. About. He didn't say all of that when we.
No, he didn't tell me that stuff either. But there's the message inside the message inside the message, and you have to pay attention when the teachers come along and drop wisdom on you. You've got to be Johnny on the spot and pay attention. Like, we were talking about various and sundry subjects for the show today, and something came up on the telly, and it was like, I took a deeper look at it, and I really thought it through, and I'm like, that's where it starts. It's about giving things the extra kind of oomph. It's the, I'm not going to accept what you tell me at face value. And why is that? Because the only way we learn something is to feel it internally, have it funnel through our body filters, our mind filters, and our spirit filters.
Right. I'm totally aligned with a spirit filter. Like, I can't tell you why something is truth, but I feel it. I feel a lie. I feel like wires get crossed in my brain and I have a nanosecond or a few nanoseconds of malfunction where the wires cross channel and fizzle out.
Right.
And when I feel that, I'm like, wow, I don't think I'm hearing the truth here. And it all happens in a split second, you know, so I can't put my finger on it. So you and I were talking about, well, what is critical thinking? I don't think I could break it down for myself to describe to myself what is critical thinking, because it's not, I'm not a very logical person. I'm a very intuitive feeling person.
Right.
So it smells weird to me or it feels weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm, by smell, I mean smell. Like sometimes I'll get a scent that will come to me and I'm like, that's weird. That's my way of critical thinking.
You know, so... Back to what we were actually talking about. Right. Why do you suppose you saw yourself in that glass and had that conversation with yourself?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
And that's what you need to scratch at. That's what you need to try and figure out. And that's what ultimately is knowable. And it may be the most important knowable thing.
You know, I hate the whole concept of tests.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's an opportunity to see the contrast and go, I am a talented person. I'm actually pretty and I'm actually attractive and I deserve success. This is mine instead of something taking it away from me. And for it to show up, as it showed up, I'm like, whoa, I recognize that it showed up. Usually I will spiral and try to hide, but there was no way for me to hide. And I had to go catch trains and buses and all of this, right? And I was in such a crowded city that I was like, whoa, I can't feel weak right now.
Right.
I cannot be that kind of whatever, vulnerable, whatever you want to call it. There's no time for that right now because I don't want to get mugged or whatever. So I'm like, whatever this is, shut up right now. And then I started to think, well, so what if I am all these things? Let me just find a place to get coffee because I'm losing energy here.
Right.
But I don't know. I think to answer your question, it was an opportunity for me to claim myself. I heard someone say, forget about your past. Like thinking in terms of being rich, like financially wealthy. If you came from a background that it was not wealthy, why hold on to that? Why can't you tell yourself you came from an incredibly wealthy background? And when you have that thought, when I have that thought,
right,
I feel so much better. Why do I have to hold on to a past of neglect or such a lack?
Right.
It doesn't help me.
It doesn't ultimately serve you. Yes.
It doesn't serve me. But even if I don't know what the reasons are or what the outcome actually is. All I can tell you is I feel so much lighter and happier and giggly when I think, oh, I came from mansions and extreme wealth. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, hee hee, you know?
Oh, dear.
So I feel like in that using that same kind of a tool, I can put aside thoughts like that will sabotage me or take me away from where I need to be. Where I need to be is matching that kind of energy that is powerful and magnetic and incredibly like bright and happy to say, hey, I am this voice. You want me. I'm here to help. I am here to create this thing with you. As opposed to, I suck. I'm ugly. I don't deserve to be here. Bye. You know?
Right.
Does that answer your question?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Okay.
Because I want to just project what would have been going on in my head if I was in the exact same situation.
Tell me.
But
what?
I'm probably wrong.
But tell me.
But I'm probably wrong.
Just tell me.
It's the Tao of Matt. We're talking about the Tao of Fawn, not the Tao of Matt.
But what would be going through your head? Well, you got your dream job.
Right. Objectively speaking, my faith is easy. It's easy to believe in myself right now, as far as career-wise, right? And ultimately speaking, because I have that objective measure, I have faith in, you know, in myself, at least at this slice. And so that devil, he comes at you where you don't expect it. And on some level, you're maybe, see, again, this is me thinking it, not you thinking it. In the same situation, I would be like, I feel like maybe I'm not worthy, but I've got it, but I'm still not worthy. And I'm going to figure out a way to balance the scale by saying, oh, well, I'm this or I'm that. Even though I've got this wonderful opportunity, I'm still not worthy. But because I can't say I'm not worthy career-wise, I have to say I'm not worthy some other way. And it all comes back to invisible S-H-I-T. Faith.
I want to revisit the whole naming thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm also remembering what I was told by my business coach. Mm-hmm. There's some parts of you that you have to fight. It's like being in a relationship with a friend or anyone. You are bound to get into conflict with one another. So there's some things that you're just going to have to fight. There's no getting around it. You will come across an uncomfortable situation.
True.
Or something where you have to communicate and it won't be comfortable.
Right.
So it's the same thing in a way. There's some parts of your story you have to leave behind. And there comes a time where you have to refresh your memory of that main thing, whatever that is.
Right.
Like I was saying, like, refresh your memory. If you come from a poor background, I come from a rich background. Figure out a different way to present it to yourself.
Right.
And I guess in a way you're setting up boundaries like that. One of the things, the first thing she told me when I told her what happened to me when I was walking, mm-hmm. she said, that is Old Testament right there. I'm like, really? Oh my God, where are we going to go to today? Like, she's a spiritual person. And she told me the story of Elijah, the prophet, and how he did, like, he helped perform these miraculous things. And it happened. And some queen later came and said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You better watch out. You better look over your shoulder because I'm going to kill you. And he freaked out so bad that he ran, I think, to the mountains. I don't know if I'm saying this right, guys. I don't know the whole story. But I guess he ran to the mountains to hide. And the main part of the story was that he knew he could perform miracles. Like, he knew that he had God on his side.
Right.
And he was part of the miracles, right? Mm-hmm. But he didn't think that the miracles could exist for him. He had no confidence.
He was just a vessel. He was just the in-between guy.
He didn't think that God would provide him with stuff.
Interesting. Right?
And that's not true. It's, again, that kind of limited thinking that we all go through.
Right.
The feeling of unworthiness.
Right. And that's why, like, for me, I've been blessed, it feels like, in this life to everybody I've considered like a personal hero or somebody I wanted to emulate or any of the rest of it, they always screw up. It doesn't necessarily keep me humble, but it keeps me going with an understanding that nobody's perfect.
Everybody's finding their battles.
Exactly. Everybody goes through struggles. Everybody goes through their battles. Everybody comes to some kind of a compromise within themselves sometimes.
That's what Kathleen was saying, that everyone goes through this, mm-hmm. right? And can I share one other thing she told me to do?
Uh-oh.
Which also, at the same time, just talk about synchronicity. At the same time, I have also been going to the chiropractor. He was telling me the same thing. And Kathleen, my coach, was telling me the same thing. Because she talked about, she went to her therapist And she said, I want you to take a look at this. And she talked about the feet. Mind you, she didn't know I was going to the chiropractor. Okay. And he was telling me the same thing. Mm-hmm. There's a point on your feet, at the center of the bottom of your feet, like these points.
The tickle spot.
I don't know, honey. But like all the points come together in one particular spot.
Okay.
And it's like in the middle of like your arches, you know, like in the mm-hmm. middle of your feet. There's this axis or something. But that's where you find grounding. And that when you plant your feet, remember we were talking about the hero position?
Mm-hmm.
Like you
hands
stand,
on your hips.
Hands on your hips, your feet wide apart.
Right.
You're standing like a superhero.
And your hands on your hips forces your chest to spread.
So
you're occupying, it's almost like you're occupying almost as much space as you can while standing up.
But they've done studies where people do this for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Or is it 10 minutes? 5 minutes, I think. You do this on your own before you go into a job interview. They tested all these people.
Right.
One group did this on their own, stood in that superhero position. Mm-hmm. And then they went in for the job interview. Same exact everything, qualifications, everything. Everything was the same, aside from the superhero position. The other group didn't do it. The ones that did got the job. There's a vibe about you after you do that. And what Kathleen was saying is it's not necessarily because I'm like, oh, you're talking about the superhero position. She's like, no, it's really about concentrating on your feet and getting grounded by spreading your feet, your toes in a way that that point at the bottom of your foot actually touches the ground, that it creates something in your spine. It's something electrical also within your body that gets activated. She described it as having a strong back but a soft front, which is interesting. If you think about it in terms of friendship, having a strong core, strong back, but a soft heart, like your arms are open. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
But yet you're so strong. If you think about a mother who has such a warm embrace you feel safe in, she's strong and soft at the same time. So to remember that kind of energy flow, that was another thing. Another piece of advice she shared with me that I wanted to pass on today. Did I skip over what you said, though?
Nope, not at all. But again, for me, it's, you know, being strong on all three quadrants and not paying lip service to one or the other.
Could you repeat the three quadrants again?
Body, mind, spirit. Spirit gives you faith.
Yeah.
And it to me, it's an interesting thing, at least in by my way of thinking. Having spirit together is the most important. We tend to push it to the side.
But when you're feeling so bad about your physical, how can you be strong in the physical sense? So if you feel like you're not pretty enough or attractive enough or whatever the fighting weight is, right? Then how do you deal with that? How do you balance that part of it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's where, in my mind, it's almost like it's a tripod, right? The three things. And so you figure out how to combat it using your mind and using your spirit. But if your spirit is atrophied, if you don't have a strong sense of yourself and a strong belief in yourself, from whatever, be it from, you know, you feel a higher power is directly communicating with you, or you feel like you are grounded, centered to the earth, any of those things help build your faith. If you don't have two of those legs, if all three legs aren't reasonably strong, when one weakens, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the trick. So it's about strengthening the other quadrants and then figuring out what that means, because your mind can help you say, wait a second, but you ran a marathon yesterday, or whatever it is. Because people come up with some really weird kind of justifications for why one of these aspects may be lacking.
You know what that reminds me of, Matt? When we first met, we met in the martial arts school. And I would show up. I had a miserable job, miserable bosses. And I would come in crying mm-hmm. from my day, because I would go straight from work and then quickly change, and then we were in the martial arts school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would see me all weepy and stuff. And you said something to me that was like, gosh, I don't remember your exact words. You said, first of all, you said a few things, but like you said, sometimes things get absurd, right? And then you have to laugh at it. But yes. What you said was, when things get bad, there's always one thing that's actually good, and you just put all your focus on that. Do you remember?
Yes, I do, because that was my mantra at that point, because it felt like everything was upside down in my life for a moment.
So could you tell me what you told me?
So when it feels like everything in your world is just has collapsed for whatever reason, you rack your brain. Typically, there's at least one thing in your life that doesn't suck. And maybe it's as simple as, I have these new shoes. It doesn't matter what it is. But there's something in your life that helps, that builds, that has you feeling like it's going to be okay. Unfortunately, there's 99 things that are telling you that everything's not going to be okay. But it's about focusing on that one thing that says everything's going to be okay. And then once you breathe into it, once you stop hyperventilating or whatever the equivalent is for what you're doing, your panic, once you get over your panic, then you figure out how to expand that. And maybe it's as simple as, wait a second, there's only this one thing that sucks. Everything else is okay. Okay, that one thing that sucks is a big deal, but it's still only one thing out of like 20. And other times it's about figuring out what aspects of yourself, your life, that you want to empower or get stronger in.
Got it. By the way, Kathleen said, things will get worse. The more successful you are, the more this voice gets louder. So you have to figure it out. You have to figure out a way to talk to it, which is why she's like, I want you to write a letter. Like, by the way, I remembered the book. It's Elizabeth Gilbert. The book is Big Magic.
Okay.
So she writes a letter to fear, right?
See, I would say that's her Tao. That's not my Tao.
But you said you name it. It's good to name it. She named it.
Well, in naming a thing, you control a thing. You are. I did absolutely say that. But as far as like naming my feeling, I wouldn't. I would be working on growing everything around it to choke it, choke the weed in my garden.
Yeah. Do you kill it? Why do they have it around?
Right.
Well, because it never goes away. That's part of nature. Is it will always be there. And that's what the war of art says.
Okay. Well,
it's part of nature.
You know, there are
it's the yin and yang.
There are certain aspects, yes, you're right, that won't go away. But for everything that could possibly go away, choke it out, put it in a stranglehold.
Well, in a way, she's doing that by saying you're going to be in the back seat. You're not going to be the driver.
Right.
And you're not going to control the radio station. You know?
Yeah, but at some point in time, I'm going to actually take our car to the car wash and I'm going to open up that back seat. I'm going to see that thing and I'm going to put it in the trash.
Nice. But then it'll show up in another way.
Maybe. Or maybe it won't.
Maybe. Anyway, so that's it. I mean, did I just take it to a negative place? I mean, it was a big triumph. I did it.
And you should celebrate
that. I did
it.
Yeah. All right. Hope that makes sense. And I want to give a big shout out. Amy Fagan, Grounded in Maine podcast. Love you.
Uh-oh. Did she get in trouble in Maine?
Grounded in... No.
Did her parents ground her?
Stop it, Matt. He knows. Anyway, check out Grounded in Maine podcast. Love you, Amy. Thank you so much for all your support and your beautiful podcast and everything you're doing in the world. Okay, well, what do you think?
Be well.